High Vibe Mama is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed? Hey everyone, welcome back to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I'm actually here at the Beauty Boost with Candace Cooper, and we're here with a panelist of entrepreneurs. And so I'm going to let her take it away and kind of tell you what this podcast is going to be about.
Welcome, everybody, to the Beauty Boost Women's Empowerment event. We are here as a community of women to empower them to feel healthy, empowered, and beautiful. And we have a lovely panel of women here to tell us about their life experiences, what they do, and how they support other women in their life. Just a real quick tidbit at the end of things, if you have a chance and want to stay up to date on future events, head on over to our sign-up sheet over there. But let's jump in to the panel. We have, first off, Alma here, who is a fitness and wellness coach dedicated to pushing women to see all the things that they can do. We have Crystal, who is a holistic healing guide and Reiki master. We have Christine, who is an entrepreneur who has leveraged her passion for health and fitness to create businesses that give back. We have Carrie, a mom to five and online health and fitness BFF, your High Vibe Mama, and the host of your podcast. We also have Lindsay Nadler, a former police officer turned passive income creator, coach, and CEO. And then we have Alyssa. She is a fashion stylist and empowerment coach. All right, let's dive in, gals. Alma, can you tell us a bit about your background and how did you come to where you are today?
Being in this room is really different for me because I used to work here before you guys were here. This used to be Body Renew Fitness headquarters, the main office. And so my family migrated here. They moved to here when I was 10 from Mexico. And I left home when I was 16 years old. And I just kind of tried to find my way through different jobs. And I was in Seattle and I just was kind of doing whatever I could. I was a waitress, I was a bartender at a bikini bar, I was a barista, doing everything that I could. To me, just working a random job was good enough for me. I think as an immigrant, you're just grateful for being able to work. So I was really just good at working a lot. So I moved to Boise when I was 23 or 24, and I came here for massage therapy, and I realized quickly that it was disgusting. I did not want to do it. I couldn't wrap my mind around touching strangers, and I don't think I really processed that through when I moved here. But then I was here. I got a job as a front desk girl at Body Renew. Very quickly, I was promoted to the assistant. Within a couple months, the owner promoted me to vice president of the company. And when he promoted me to that, I remember telling him I couldn't do it because I was like, I didn't feel like I was smart. So, to me, I know I'm getting emotional. To me, it was really hard to express that to somebody, that I wasn't smart. So he projected my rejection and was like, you're gonna figure it out. My office was right there, right where those ladies were sitting. And I just figured it out. I YouTubed everything that I had to YouTube. I just figured it out. And I'm not close to my family. So he really took on that role for me of like a father, and saw something that I didn't see myself at that time. And I did not plan to get emotional, y'all. Like, I really did not. I did it. And he was always like, hey, you have to always have something else, like, in the works. So he made me get certified. I was like, I don't know how to train. I don't know how to do any of that. He made me get certified. A couple years later, the company went bankrupt. And so he was like, hey, you have two choices. You can either come to Florida and work with me or stay here. I ended up staying here, and I used my certification. Realized it didn't really work for me. I had no idea what I was really doing. And I got into real estate. And in my spare time, I would always train. And I went from real estate to something else. I got into a relationship, and we got a house. And in our house, I was like, well, I love training. I love to spend my time training. So we turned our garage into a gym. And so I would train like one or two people just for fun. And that relationship ended. He kept our house, keeping my gym. And I got so just completely depressed after that. And my friend Claudia is actually here with me. I spent maybe 9 months drinking and in my bathtub, and just, it was the most horrible time of my life. I didn't get up, I didn't work out, and I didn't do anything. And I was in a car accident, and I just remember I got T-boned by a car. And I remember being so mad, because I was like, I guess to God, I was like, you had one job. Just, you know, I don't have anybody. I'm not doing anything. I didn't feel like I had anything to give back to anybody. So I was just frustrated that, you know, there's good people that die all the time. And then there's me. One hit, I could have got taken out. And after that, my depression got worse. It's just me and my little dogs. And so I guess seeing them and seeing them get old and knowing that no one else is going to take care of them how I took care of them, I was just tired of every day was the same thing. I would go do a job that I hated because, you know, it was like a big girl job. It was a commercial appraiser, and it sounded good. In paper, it was a good job. Everything was good, but I just wasn't happy. So I was like, on Sundays, that was like the worst day for me, because I could do the week, I could do Saturday, but one more day of being alone, I just couldn't do that. So I was like, I just want to do something. So I started with a booty camp. I was like, girls like to work out their booties, why not?
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and first it was like a couple people showed up, and then it was like a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and I think that kind of started to snap me out of everything. And I went from, I didn't have anywhere to go and no one would care if I didn't show up, to I literally cannot not show up one day because they're like harassing me, you know? And now it's like, everything is so crazy how everything works, because everything that I wanted so bad, it's like to have a family and to have family nights and to have positive people around you. I literally created that from everything that happened to me. And like everything, even from here, I didn't think I was smart. And now everything that I learned, I applied it to open my business. It was so perfect how everything aligned me. And not having a family makes me really be very picky about who I train. And I always tell everybody, like, I vibe check everybody before I train them. Because I'm not, what if it's my last day? I need to make sure that that last day I'm around people that I love, because I've been someone that I didn't love, and I've been around people that didn't love me and didn't accept me. So now I have, I guess, the luxury of being able to choose that. And now it's a full-blown business. I never imagined that my life would be what it is now. And it's now led me to help other people. And, you know, with these girls, there's just so many of them. And they come out of nowhere. And all I had to do was just be myself. And it's crazy to think this is just a start, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's basically my background. That's how it happened. And now we're a huge family of just crazy, funny people. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Alma.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Crystal. Crystal, can you tell us a bit how you came to the field that you're in? Talk a little bit about that. And how did you follow the path that you're on now?
Yeah. So I think everyone's path, you know, starts with childhood stuff. So I had somewhat of a traumatic childhood, and I was taken out of my home when I was 11, moved in with my grandmother. And from there, I got married when I was 18 because I felt like I need to hurry up and get married because I can't stay here forever. So I got married quick, and we moved around and all those kind of things. And fast forward to when I started working, I was managing a spa within a casino, and I got triggered into PTSD by working with a lot of people that were drinking and gambling and all that kind of stuff. And it was a really hard job. But like you, it looked so good on paper. I was a spa manager and at a big place, and I had this great salary and benefits and all the things. So I kept doing a job that was really hard for me. And I worked like 80 hours a week. And at the time I had just had my daughter, and I didn't know this, but I had postpartum depression with my daughter. So I then had postpartum depression and then started having PTSD. That I didn't know was happening. I got really, really depressed and to the point of extremely suicidal. I used to drive to work, and on the way to the casino, there was a cement company, and I would like wish and pray that one of the trucks would hit me. Like, it was like my dream. I couldn't like make myself do it, but I like wished I could just like beam me up, like get me out of this place. My dad experienced suicide with his parents, so I knew I couldn't do that to my kids. And so I just kept going, and I was starting to have issues in my marriage and wanting to leave my marriage, and people would tell me, what's the matter with you? You have the perfect husband. Like, I don't understand. And so then I felt shame and I felt guilt about the way I was feeling. And so I just went down, down, down hill. And then fast forward just a little bit, I started my own business, and I was doing Crystal Skin Studio, and it was so exciting. And then this was 2015. And then January of 2016, I lost my grandmother, who raised me. And it's probably the hardest day of my whole life, to lose my best friend and my cheerleader and the person that I go to and the person that's been there for me since I was little. You know, she was my everything. And so on top of everything else, the PTSD and the depression, and the postpartum, that I fell into an actual deep depression after my grandma passed. And I started having what's known as anxiety, which I didn't know that's what it was, but I was like throwing up in between clients, and I kept going to the doctors, and they kept putting me on more medications, and they kept trying to tell me what was wrong with me and all these things. And so I got put into the medical stuff, and the medicines were making me sicker and sicker and sicker. And I just got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore. I was just in bed all the time. My husband did everything. He took care of the kids. He cooked the food. I could get to work, but I was canceling on most of my appointments. I wasn't able to be my best self or even myself at all at that point. And then in 2016, it kept going. I lost 10 friends and family members and my two dogs in that year. And so as a very stubborn Leo, the universe said, okay, we're going to body slam you because you clearly aren't listening. Mm-hmm. And so I listened, and I was doing a facial one day, and this earth angel came in, and she had a facial from me, and she grabbed my hands and said, I wish you'd come in for a Reiki treatment. And I didn't know what that word meant or what she was talking about. And I'll never forget the sound of my tears hitting the wood floor that day when she touched my hand and the way my body felt after her touching me. And so I didn't know what it was, but I said, at this point, I'll try anything. I'll try anything. So I went and had a Reiki appointment. And I remember laying there thinking, like, this bitch is crazy. Like, she thinks she is healing me like Jesus or something. Like, this is absolutely insanity. But something happened that day that I can't explain in words. She triggered something, or I like to say it's like she turned a switch on inside of me and it changed everything. And so the Reiki appointments led to me wanting to get certified to know what was actually going on. And then that led me to have to meditate to be able to get certified. And then so slowly I became coaching people as I was doing their lashes, like behind the table. And then I opened a women's group called Magenta 31 because I thought, you know, I've spent so much money and been through so many doctors to get worse and worse and worse when I could just meditate and do Reiki for free, like, and get better. Like, why does no one know this? Like, why is this not common knowledge? So then I started a women's group, Magenta 31, and I started teaching it all. So it just, like, my calling fell into my lap. And then fast forward a little bit later, I got a divorce after a 20-year marriage and started following my own path and my own heart. And so then I started thinking, okay, I better get a job where I make enough money to be able to be divorced, because I actually left my husband at the time without a job during COVID. And opened my business October of 2020 here in Boise. And now I do everything that I offer in a facial. So I do Reiki and crystal and meditation and chakra clearing and sound bath and all that stuff within the facial, as well as offering, I teach yoga and do all kinds of stuff like that. So that's how I found my healing. And now it's my my deepest joy to offer what I know to other women and men and humans all alike, pets or whoever wants my love, I'm happy to give it.
Thanks for sharing that. Christina. Christina, I read your bio and it describes that you like to connect your passion for fitness with giving back. Can you tell us a bit how you came to that place in your life and what brought you there?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of similar to these two ladies, again, I think things kind of start in childhood, and my background was different, but the same in that, you know, growing up, I always had parents who really had high expectations, right? And it was like, you get all the A's, you go to college, you get all of this stuff done. So there was always that pressure to be the best, do the best, be as high as you can be. And so I went through college, I got my undergraduate degree, went into the corporate world, and I was there and I was working for in like a corporate strategy role, and going to work every day just feeling like I was just working for the bottom line of a company, and it wasn't fulfilling for me. I didn't want to wake up every day just to go make somebody else money, or even just make myself money. I didn't want to be there just to make money. And so I was in that role for a few years. And at that same time, I was running marathons, and that was kind of my way to stay physically fit, mentally fit. And, in doing that, I was getting a lot of injuries. So I had a physical therapist that was like, you know what, you should really try yoga, because if you're going to keep doing this running thing, you've got to find a way to balance it out somehow. So I tried doing yoga and I was like, I hate this. I can't be still. I don't like this slow stuff. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting a workout. This is not good for me. But I stuck with it because I was like, if this is the only way that I can run, then I need to keep this in my life. And over time, I grew to love it. And it became something that not only helped me physically, it helped me mentally, it helped me emotionally, it connected me with a community of people. And, with those two things kind of parallel happening at the same time, where I didn't like what I was doing for work And this yoga came into my life. I got certified and I decided that I wanted to pursue yoga as a career. So I ended up opening my own business. And for me, it wasn't, again, about a bottom line of having my own company. It was about being able to share yoga with other people. So I opened a very small studio. I wanted to have a space where I could see everybody. I could make sure that people were doing things the right way, that I could see their anatomy and how it worked. And it wasn't just a big studio with 50 people in a class and the instructor can't tell what people are doing and people are just showing up and getting injured. And then I started focusing on private sessions and doing things with people with scoliosis, a lot of prenatal, a lot of postnatal, a lot of elderly people that were just like, I want to be able to stay on my own 2 feet and not fall down and break a hip. So a lot of balance work. And it just grew into a passion for me of trying to serve other people and teach them what yoga had to offer. And then from there, I started to get into yoga retreats and I started to add travel to that. And in those retreats, the giving back part that I was talking about, traveling all over the world and doing these different retreats. And at each one, I did something to give back. So we've done retreats in Nicaragua, building water filters for schools. We've done retreats in the Philippines and hosted orphanages and did drives to bring things to orphanages in the Philippines. I did one in Thailand working with a special needs school and teaching them yoga. So each one had a unique perspective and it was just being able to share yoga and share service all over the world. So fast forward from that, about 3 years ago, I moved from, I had the studio in California and I moved from there to Salt Lake because my boyfriend at the time was in Salt Lake. So I was like, you know, the other thing that I'm passionate about is wanting to have a family and wanting to go that route. And I left that stuff behind and it was the hardest thing that I've ever done. It made me feel like I completely lost myself and lost everything that I had built. And so we moved up here and I'm now opening a studio called Torque Body Shop, which will be indoor cycling and yoga to do that same thing up here. So that's kind of my story.
Thank you for sharing that, Christina. Yeah. Carrie, our fearless leader of the podcast here. We've come around to you, as many of your listeners probably know a little bit about your background as a busy mom of five. I'm a mom of two, so I can't imagine five at this point.
Sometimes I can't either, so it's fine.
The question is, do you keep all the names straight all at the same time?
No.
So as a busy mom of five and an entrepreneur, what brought you to all of your business ventures and the things that you do? How did you come to where you are now?
So like with all of these amazing women, I just love all of your stories. And it's interesting that all of our stories are very cohesive, you know, and we have a lot of similar things. And so my background is basically I was raised by my grandparents. I had two addict parents. And I had a very like up and down, I would say waterfall type of childhood. Would go back with my parents and go back with my grandparents. Addiction ended up taking both my parents' lives when I was very young. So I was parentless by the time I was 25. And fast forward to recently, about 2.5 years ago, I lost my twin brother to the same exact thing, addiction. And so I have, you know, people know my story who listen to my podcast, so or you follow me on social media, and I've always been into fitness. I was a cheerleader. I was a dancer in high school. I loved movement and motion, and I was always standing in the mirror making up dances to Shania Twain and like Mariah Carey and like all those people, you know, that you love to listen to, or like Biggie or Tupac or like whoever you liked, right? Which I love Biggie and Tupac, by the way. Everyone knows that in my dance classes. Anyway, so I loved being in motion and being physically fit, like, or just doing things. And I know now that a lot of that was sedation for me of like, oh, I'm not going to remember what happened to me. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to put it all under here and then work it out through motion. Fast forward to when my twin brother died, what had happened is when he died, all the trauma from my childhood came back, like in this huge wave, like where I almost felt like I had turned to stone. And being a mom to five kids, I kept asking myself, how am I supposed to heal this and take care of all these kids? And my three-year-old is rotten to the core, just so you guys know. So she's hard. So I had a very hard child too. And I was like, how am I supposed to do all of this? And I think to answer your question is when you have a message and when you have a calling from God, he makes things work out for you, however they're supposed to work out. So people are like, how do you do this with five kids? How are you doing this? And it's like, when you have a message or when you have a calling, God makes it work out for you, or whatever you believe in, the universe, the energy, like he puts forth the path for you. And that's really how I've been able to do that. And I've also now, fast forward, I'm kind of like during the pandemic, I lost my fitness job that I loved so much. And then when they brought it back, they only were giving us so many classes and all the things. So I opened up my own studio in my house. I teach online classes in cardio strength and active recovery. And basically my passion is helping moms move through grief and trauma through movement, because I truly believe that movement in your body creates movement in your life, and movement is medicine. And all of these other things that people want to try, like, oh, journaling or talking about it, it's actually not enough, because everything gets stuck. And that's what I really realized when my twin brother died, is I realized I had all this stuck stuff and that I put it aside. But I wasn't intentionally moving my body. So before I was just exercising, teaching classes. But then when this happened, I started to intentionally move my body in certain ways that needed to be healed. And I'm still working on it. I'm still a work in progress, just so you know. I'm a hot mess. Don't come over to my house uninvited. Most of my children won't be wearing pants, probably. That's just how it is. And so, but yeah, I think to answer your question is just like, when you feel really called by God or universe or whatever you feel called by, that he makes those manifestations happen in your life, and he brings forth the people just like we are here. I feel like this was meant to be, as I listen to all of you women. And he puts forth that path for us, because we're all creators and he wants us to create. And so that's like my passion, is just putting forth what, you know, God wants me to do and have a passion for it. And so that's really kind of, I guess how I keep it all together is, I don't know, be like Jesus, take the wheel kind of thing a lot of the time. So yeah.
Thanks, Carrie.
Yeah.
Lindsay. We've gone through a few panelists now, so I'll remind our listeners. Lindsay has an interesting bio in that you are a former police officer turned
online business coach.
Online business coach. That is a succinct way of putting it. But I want to know, that's an interesting trajectory from where you came from, and how did you land there? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So like, how do we get here, right? So I'll try to keep it short and sweet. It's so interesting, the thread that's in this group. But yeah, so I'm an online business coach, and I help women learn how to make their passion pay them, and do that through really owning their power and owning their life and figuring out what's this thing that they're called to do. And you know, I was a police officer for 3 years on the street, and I got started with that because I wanted to change the world. I wasn't this girl that grew up wanting to be married or have kids. That was never my thing. I wanted to be a CIA assassin, spy. Anybody else want in the back? Okay. Yeah. You know, like, give me the guns, give me the espionage, give me all the things, right? But as you know, as the universe would have it, one day at the boxing gym, because I used to actually fight at an amateur level too, I met my husband, and he came in the boxing gym with two kids. He was a single dad, and I just totally fell in love. Like, just, man, like, boom, knocked out. And so shocker, you know, working a 12-hour night shift is not conducive to really anything. Like, not conducive to a marriage, to kids. And guys, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. Like, I'm, you know, a free thinker, you know, rebel, gonna do it my own way, feminist. So like a girl in the South in a male-dominated paramilitary organization who like wants to do her own thing and had all of these side hustles, just like wasn't ever really gonna work. Like, who are we kidding, right? And I loved parts of that job, but it was so reactive. It wasn't proactive. And you know, I was just putting band-aids on a lot of things that I couldn't really get to the root cause of. And one of them being that I saw so many women living so disempowered, you know, responding to domestic, domestic calls. I was raised in a domestic violence home with a lot of trauma and, you know, just through different scenarios, just seeing women not living fully. And we've all been there, right? And so if I can just share a real quick story, you know, my whole message is, you know, passion is everything and go after what you're called to go after. And one of the reasons that that has always stuck with me, and if you follow me online or you listen to my podcast, which is the Make Your Passion Pay You podcast, I mean, it's like, let's go, like, let's do the damn thing. And it's because I have something that I call, mortality motivation. Which you've experienced, we've all kind of experienced this, right? Where we've had this incredible thing happen. And one of the things that happened to me on patrol was I responded to an active shooter in our community in a small town in the South. Y'all can't tell, I'm from the South. And active shooter at the time, we didn't know, but it was a guy who basically killed his girlfriend, went and robbed a bank, shot the teller, and then went and started shooting at a local grocery store. And all we knew was active shooter, small town, the town was going nuts. And I was the first responder to this grocery store. And so we're thinking there's a guy with a gun picking people off. He wasn't, he had already fled the scene. But what I came upon was this man, and he was about 75 years old and he had a colostomy bag. And I mean, he was dead. Right upon my arrival, the man had shot him and stolen his vehicle. And if y'all, is this cool? Can y'all go with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I get on the scene and here he is. I'm working on him and working on him. And in our small town, because of all of the other shootings, the ambulance was like, you know, we're going to have a 20-minute wait. There's like two ambulances. So I'm like working on him as much as I could, but he was pretty much gone. And this is intense, so just trigger warning. You know, so I'm covered in blood, he's gone. And I can remember my captain coming on patrol and basically, you know, telling me that he had passed later in the day. And I wanted to go, and it's protocol, you go and notify the next of kin. So I wanted to, he was like, you have the option, you can go home, get cleaned up, or, you know, you can go and notify the next of kin that he had passed away. And I said, no, I want to tell his wife. Like, I want to be the one. I want her to know that I worked on him and that I was there and, you know, all these things. And so I did, and she was just going about her day. You know, she's a bank teller. She's, you know, been married to this man for however long, you know, over 25 years. And I went and just told her what had happened. And I remember she looked me in the face and said, thank you. I'm so glad that you were with him. Like, thank you for coming and telling me. I'm so glad that you were with him in those moments. And I'll just never forget that. I mean, it shaped everything that I do today, because, you know, we just get one life and you just never know when it's going to be gone. And I see, you know, so many women living with so much fear, right? How often do we doubt ourselves? We overthink. Is this a cussing situation? Can we cuss?
Yeah, it's a podcast. Okay, you can cuss on podcast.
Like, we're literally like giving our power away to an app on our phone. because we don't want to talk about our damn businesses. Like, we don't want to show the fuck up. Like, come on, like, let's go, like, live your life, because, you know, you've only got this one shot. So long story short, that's the why behind what I do. You know, started out in fitness, finally got to what I do now, built multiple companies, including a new one, CEO Hat Club. And my mission is just to show women how powerful they are and to help women go for it. So that's it.
Thank you. Alyssa.
Hey, Candace.
Last but certainly not least.
Thanks.
Tell us a little bit about what drove you to want to connect your experience and passion for fashion and styling with your desire to coach women. How did you get there and come to that place?
I was in high school when I like really wanted to go for fashion, and college didn't quite work out after high school, so I actually ended up on a path of spiritual awakening. Honestly, truthfully, I was atheist, like just decided in high school with this friend who was actually a stranger, like she was new to the school, whatever. She just opened me up to like my own like identity, essentially, and recognizing like, oh yeah, I don't believe in God. God is something that people talk about and it has no meaning to me. And so after high school, I did go through a spiritual awakening where I was like, okay, like the whole next 10 years into today, like it was 10 years ago, I just fell in love with my like God, and my love for God just kind of guided me from there. So in context of fashion, I realized that we were dressing ourselves wrong, not in tiny skirts and belly button shirts with our boobs hanging out. We were dressing ourselves without loving ourselves. And I was in the retail industry for a little while in fashion. And this one woman said to me, all she was doing was shopping, and she was fashionable, but she was shopping for a travel, like a vacation. And she said to me, I didn't know if I was being helpful to her at all. It seemed like she was answering all her questions. But what she said was, you gave me so much comfort and just peace in this experience. You like calmed me down, because it was like the day before she was supposed to leave for travel. And it just kept coming up. People at my work would tell me like, you should teach people how to dress. And to me, because of like going through a spiritual awakening and realizing like, it meant so much more than how we're dressing. It meant who we are, because our clothes, it doesn't matter what we wear when we get down to the spirit. When we get down to the spirit of a person, there is something inside that is either alive or dead. And so with that, I just took my talent and made it something that was reviving to that spirit of the women that I coach with. And so what happens when women get in front of the mirror is a lot of our self-hatred and vulnerabilities, self-judgments will come up. And I struggled with insecurity from a troubled childhood. Because that is also a mirror to me in essence, hearing like self-judgments and insecurities and all that, I can work with women through those things as I see them looking in the mirror saying like, oh, I don't want to wear that top. Well, why don't you want to wear that top? Because I hate my arms. Okay, well, let's try it on and let's actually like dig into that emotion, because underneath it, like that's the self-judgment. If you actually don't like the top, choose the top you like and don't judge yourself for it. And so just moments like that in front of the mirror can just become so vulnerable with how women perceive themselves. And so helping them get to the identity of who they are rather than covering up themselves because they need to be different is kind of my approach. And a huge motivation in that has just been my mother, which is actually, I think, a lot of where my childhood insecurities came from. I watched her judge herself and ridicule herself and so many horrible things. That was the first separation I experienced in my life, was from my mom by the time I was like 7 or 8. And from there, like just not having that power inside herself that said, I love myself, I'm enough. I don't have to have love from somebody else in order to be good enough. It, like seeing her struggle without having that confidence and assurance in herself and then losing her for it, has driven me to want to heal that in people and just teach people how to genuinely love themselves, because not only are their kids relying on it, like I'm not a mother, but I know what kids are giving their parents, because to me it was something I lost as a child. All the grace that I have for my mother is always going to be there. There's nothing she could do that would take my love for her away. And so if we as women can learn to love ourselves that much, then it creates so much more healing in ourselves that then we can show up as our best versions of ourselves for other people. So in full, that's why that I've combined the two, fashion and empowerment.
There seems to be a resounding message of our backgrounds really stemming from childhood and experiences from our childhood, whether they be large or small, traumatic or otherwise, and just really shaping how we go about our lives and where we've ended up today. And I mean, I can't speak for all of the audience. I can certainly say myself, there's something I can pick out from every single person's story here and relate to that something within it. And you all are women who have really had transformative experiences that are driven by either self-experiences or experiences that you feel are brought on by a higher power or a higher calling, to whichever you answer to or respond to. And I just think that's really powerful for any woman to hear and to really dig into their own personal life and background and dig into themselves to really become the best version of themselves and become empowered and really see the beauty in their own life. And I think that's really powerful stuff. So thank you all for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you.
Carrie, how are you doing on time with your podcast?
We're at 41 minutes, so it's fine. I can go for 2 hours on the podcast. So
are you guys enjoying this?
So yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We can jump back in and I'm gonna make it a little bit of a quicker round. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so we are going to jump into a second round of questions. These are gonna be a little bit briefer, and going into what these women offer today to their various audiences in a more specific fashion. So we'll start again with Alma. Alma, tell us real briefly, based on your personal experiences that you shared with us, what surprises you most about working with women?
That everyone always tells themselves everything that they can do, even physically, mostly physically for me because I work with women's bodies, but everyone will say, I can't do this, I can't do that, that's too heavy, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do that. Or I'll show them an exercise that I want them to do and they'll be like, how the fuck am I gonna do that? You know? And I'm like, you can do it. And then when they do it, what always surprises me is that they were more than capable of doing it, but they just never thought they could. And so I have a no can't rule. Like, you can't say can't, because then, like, that's done. And everyone's so scared when, like, when I have group workouts. If someone says I can't, everyone's like, don't say that! Because I'm killing it. I kill them. Because everyone always told me I couldn't do everything that I'm doing now. And it's like, you start with the physical and then you kind of build that up. Instead of telling someone, if someone shares an idea, after a workout circle of loves, sometimes someone will share an idea that they have, like a business idea that when I launch or something they want to do different. I'm like, yeah, like you should do it. You know, it's kind of like a joke. So I'm like, quit your job, leave your man, like do all of it, you know? But do everything that makes you happy. You can do literally everything. So my biggest surprise with women is they don't even know what they can do. Yeah,
absolutely. Crystal, it seems that based on the story, your life story that you shared with us, that you came into a real connection with your internal energy. So how do you feel that women can use their connection to their own internal energy to live their most empowered life?
I think that first of all, they need to realize that they have it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I come into contact with is women don't know that they even have it. And, you know, we've all experienced how we just follow what we're told to do. Right? You get the house, you get the job, you get the kids, you get the boat, you go on the vacation, and then you're happy. Well, I got all those things, and I was like, well, what the hell is this? Like, this sucks. Like, this is the worst. And everyone just pretends they're happy. Well, my internal compass was very much ding, 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 ding. You are not happy. And so I decided to follow that. And I think if other women first could realize they have that internal guidance instead of pushing it down, drinking it away, smoking it away, popping pills it away, whatever it is you're doing to numb. There's lots of things, food. I've done a lot of them, so I hear you. But if you take a moment of silence, listen to your heart, follow that inner guidance, you can find a life that is so powerful and so loving and so happy that you would be amazed. And you'll be so grateful that you followed it. It's not easy. It's not easy to follow that. It causes fires everywhere. But on the other side of the fire, like I always say, it's like, forget the fire. Pretend there's a storm, right? There's a thunderstorm and we're all in the storm. And what we do is we sit in the storm. Instead of getting the hell out of the storm, we just sit there. Well, if you follow your internal guidance and you turn around and you walk a little bit, there's a rainbow. And your rainbow is waiting for you patiently. And your internal guidance will get you there. You just have to listen.
Absolutely. Thank you. Christina, as a woman in the health industry and a business owner, where do you derive your motivation and drive? And how do you think it can inspire other women?
Yeah, I think I get a lot of my motivation and drive from other women or from other people and clients. And I think, being able to see other people's progress and see how yoga or fitness in general helps people reach their goals or helps them overcome an injury or helps them to get past something difficult that they're going through in their life or the community that it gives them and what that provides, that motivates me to keep going and to keep showing up, kind of like you said earlier on. You know, when you have groups of people or even an individual person that's there that's waiting for you to show up to teach a class or to give a message, that motivates you to keep showing up. And so that's my drive and my motivation to show up for other people to help them get to where they need to go.
Thanks. Find the community, find somebody to back you up and hold you accountable to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Christina. Carrie, you talked a lot about movement being a really big part of your journey towards healing with your life experiences. How do you see movement propelling women forward in their own life in their various aspects or, you know, the different ways that, different things that women have experienced in their life?
Well, just like have all these women have talked about, right? Like everything's energy, right? And so either energy spins slow or spins fast. And so we have to physically like move our bodies, move ourselves like into the refiner's fire. I think that's what you were talking about, right? And I also feel like deep grief healing or trauma healing, there's more aspects. It's like, so what I do is I help not only women move their bodies intentionally, but also do it through holistic health things, or we're working on emotional wellness. And I think it's really, like I think a lot of these women said, it's cultivating the whole person, right? I think a lot of times we nitpick at ourselves. We're like, oh, we're going through this or feeling this, and it's just isolated. Well, that feeling like isn't isolated. That's a trajectory outside of our whole body. I mean, I know for me, when I'm having like a grief spell, or I call it like a grief fog that comes, or a huge grief wave, or you're triggered or something, I know that it's showing up. I feel it in my body, right? Like, I'm like, I have a headache now, or like, I'm like telling my kid to stay away from me, or like, you know, or like, no, I don't do that. Okay. I was just saying, like, I don't tell my kids stay away from me. I love my kids, but like, you traject like what I'm feeling. And I also feel like just being completely honest with yourself too, on where you're at. And that's one thing that I really had to do as a mom. It's, I really had to tell my kids when I was hurting and just let them know. And the interesting thing was, is me going through the scripture, it's taught my kids so much empathy. I now have my children come and tell me that they noticed somebody was not doing well at school, and they could just tell because of how they were feeling, because I have poured out my feelings to them and where I'm at in life. So it's able to take that emotional wellness that I've taught them into other people. And that's the kind of world that we need to create. I mean, look at our world right now, that we're so emotionally sick, right? We're so mentally sick because of everything that's going on. And I really feel that's like the key, is like taking your physical and emotional wellness and looking at yourself really as a whole, like a whole being. We're not separate, and like, we're all connected. I mean, look how much connected our stories are. I was like, higher power, universe, God, whatever you believe in, like, this was definitely like meant to be for tonight. So thank you so much for having it.
Thanks, Carrie. Thank you. Lindsay, how do you feel that women can step up to the next level in their lives and shift out of a place of standstill or stagnation and into a place of empowerment?
Yeah, great question. I have a whole business built around that.
Absolutely.
So here's the quote that I always share, and I'll paraphrase it, but you guys have probably heard a version of it that goes, your greatest fear is not that you're not enough, but that you're powerful beyond measure. It's not your enoughness that's the issue. It's your relationship with power, and that you can do it, and that you do have it. That's the problem. And I think that as women, we have spent a lot of time constantly asking the wrong question. We're constantly asking, am I enough? Am I enough? Is this enough? Is this enough? And so what we focus on grows. So if you are constantly having a conversation over here around enoughness, then guess what? The conversation is always going to be around. Anybody? Enoughness. Yes. Instead of, my enoughness is handled, that's done, duh, let's move on. Let's have a greater conversation around, how powerful am I? Power is not a dirty word. Power is not a scary word. Women with power is a good thing. Power is good, not bad. How can I steward it? How can I step into it? How can I learn how to channel everything that I've been given? We fear what it will mean when we become the most powerful version of ourselves. Those are facts. Every woman that I've coached that's starting a new business or really owning who she is online, that's really the issue at the end of the day, because you all are badass. You all are experts. Mm-hmm. You're all enough. That's handled. If you want a next level of empowerment, if you want a next level in your business and your life, then we have to start asking the right questions. So I invite everybody tonight to start asking million-dollar questions, which is, what is my next level of power? Enoughness? Got it. I'm not saying that you'll never have moments where you doubt, where you will question. But a woman who is, I'll just give you my definition of a powerful woman. She knows who she is. She knows what she wants. And she goes after it unapologetically. Just imagine what would shift in your life if that was your vibe. If that was the constant question. you know, that's what you were going after. And that's really my mission, is to help women with the paradigm shift around what power truly means. You know, because we as women, everyone in this room, like we're at this event, right? Because we want to be empowered. That's what, you know, this whole group is about, right? Mm-hmm. And we've come such a long way, right? We're like, girl boss, you know, boss babe. Got our Starbucks, got our gold-plated laptop or MacBook laptop, right? Who's got it? Who has those things? Check. You know, you got the vision board. Check. Yes, right? That's great. That's great. But are you truly living power every day? Not just this curated version of what it looks like to be a boss babe. You know, but are we really owning our power and going after what we want unapologetically? So that's my advice.
Thank you, Lindsay. Powerful words. Alyssa, do you feel that there's a common hang up when it comes to helping women work towards confidence in their self-identity? And if yes, explain. And if no, also explain.
Yeah, I definitely do. I'm sure everyone here can relate. We get attached to our masks. And so if we have to kind of break free from something that is holding us back from loving ourselves, it's always intrinsic. And breaking free, we have to feel comfortable with being uncomfortable, with being exposed. And so, like I said, facing the mirror, you know, there's an internal mirror, how we identify with ourselves, as you were mentioning. And that's so important, to fall in love with ourselves and treat ourselves with like genuine kindness and compassion. And it's hard to get to a place where we're ready for that. As humanity, not just women, I'm sure that it's the same for any other person. Just that exposure of feeling like, oh crap, like I don't love myself, or this is what I hate about myself. Healing those parts, exposing those parts, and getting, as you mentioned, Crystal, past the storm. It can feel like exposing any parts of ourselves and getting through those vulnerabilities, it can feel like a storm. And sometimes, honestly, we can feel stuck in that place where we're genuinely just not open whatsoever to letting our walls down. And yeah, that is a true hang up in trying to help women break free and find an empowered version of themselves within.
Thank you. All these women shared really powerful messages that I hope all of you podcast listeners and our audience here take away this evening. I'm gonna let Carrie wrap it up here and then we'll go ahead and mingle and visit with our vendors.
Okay. All right, y'all. I hope you guys loved that interview and podcast, and I love all of you guys, and I will see you guys on the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening, sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.